For the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we want to wish all our listeners a very enjoyable and safe Thanksgiving holiday. And be careful on Friday if you're going to the stores. We don't want to see any of our listeners trampled. Of course, no one else either. But let's be safe this holiday season and drive careful as well. Now, something else I wanted to mention, we're very thankful for all the support we had for our gospel meeting with Brother Mark Day, who did an outstanding job of preaching God's word. And I know you were blessed in being here, but we wanted to thank you for your support. Yes, it's very much appreciated every time we get together with such good brethren. Now, something else to mention, I was blessed to hear a number of the lectures from Sunday night, actually all of them from Sunday night on till Thursday. And boy, was my cup running over with spiritual blessings from hearing outstanding preaching by so many good brethren. So we appreciated that as well. Now, our study this morning is taken from Luke 8, 43 through 48. And we're going to entitle this study, You Cannot Steal a Blessing from God. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Are we preparing for eternity? We better be. Now, something else we want to mention is that we would like to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes, and then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude, thus in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in truth, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, we really look forward to having opportunities to have Bible studies. So if you're interested, please get in touch with us. And your Bible questions are always welcome. Your comments, positive or negative, are always welcome. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning. We're studying from Luke 8, beginning in verse 43, going through 48. And again, we've entitled our study, You Cannot Steal a Blessing from God. Picking up now with verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, that is Christ, and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. In other words, it ceased. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. So here we have this woman with an issue of blood, that could not be treated by the doctors. And you know, Luke, the physician, is the inspired writer here. And how difficult was that for him in having to deal with such problems that could not be healed, not being able to help her. So she was considered unclean. If you go to Leviticus 15:25, and if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. So that was the situation with her. And you see, though, that she touched the hem of Jesus's garment, and she was immediately made whole. Well, notice Numbers 15:38. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue to identify that this is the Hebrew nation's, someone of that nation. So this was a way of identification. Now, this would be what she grabbed a hold of. And so now we want to notice the question that Jesus asked, who touched me? We all should know Jesus knew who touched him. He's God in the flesh. For example, John 2:24-25. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. God knows our thoughts. Yes, every thought we have. And certainly Jesus, being God, knew her as the one that touched him. But here, as we're studying this morning, you cannot steal a blessing from God. She perhaps did not want to be noticed as she came from behind him. But when she saw that she was not hid, she came out and told the truth. Yes, she declared unto him before all the people, notice that, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And so this was what needed to be done in order to complete this situation. And so after Jesus asked the questions, and she had confessed to the people, she was healed. Yes, and Jesus called her the daughter, called her the term, rather, daughter, which would be a tender term, would it not? Affection. Yes, very tender. And certainly he silenced her fears when he said, be of good comfort, and thy faith hath made thee whole. So this woman had great faith, realizing by touching the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be made whole. But she had to do it right. And this is our study this morning, as we must realize that we too cannot hide in the crowd and steal a blessing from God. That's not the way it's done. We'll want to begin with this very important fact. Where are all spiritual blessings to be found? Only in Christ. As we go now to Ephesians chapter 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places, in Christ. Notice how Paul addresses the letter to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's how he addressed the letter, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 1. And so it's necessary to have this understanding that we must be in Christ to have these spiritual blessings. If we're outside of Christ, they're not available to us. Yes, in heavenly places in Christ, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. In verse 20. So we need to appreciate, yes, as saints in the Lord's church, we are to live, yes, in the world. We have to live in the world, but we're not to be worldly minded. Let's focus on the spiritual. The spiritual blessings are only in Christ. They're not outside of Christ. But all, of course, receive physical blessings from God, whether they're believing or not the truth. An atheist receives physical blessings, does he not? Well, of course. But again, we're focusing on the fact that we need to be in Christ to receive the wonderful spiritual blessings that are available. So we're to live in the world, but not to be worldly minded. As Jesus said in John 18:36, he answered to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence." Now, no one should think that Jesus is going to establish a physical kingdom here on the earth. No, he did not do that, and he's not going to do it in the future. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom, and no one should misunderstand that. My kingdom is not of this world. So we want to be sure that we're part of the kingdom that is a spiritual body. Yes, this is the church that Jesus promised to build and did, purchasing it with his precious blood. And he is the head of the church. It's his body. And thus, of course, he's also the foundation. And we need to appreciate the spiritual aspect of the church of Christ. It's his church. It's his body. Thus, the church of Christ. So now we ask, how did these Ephesians receive these spiritual blessings? Well, the answer is easy. By being in the church of Christ, in the body of Christ. Now, that's not difficult at all, is it? Paul had taught them publicly from house to house and declared all the counsel of God to them, Acts 20:20 and verse 27. Yes, Paul declared the whole counsel of God to them. Now, they heard the truth and they obeyed it. Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." They heard the truth and they obeyed it. Paul preached the one true church, the one body, the one faith, the one Well, let's just go to Ephesians chapter 4 and read that, as this is in the inspired letter to the church of Christ at Ephesus. Let's notice verse 3, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now we're going to see the seven ones of unity. There is one body. So that's unity of organization, the church. One Spirit, the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. Unity of revelation. And notice, "even as you are called in one hope." Well, that's unity of aim, a purpose, isn't it? Excuse me. Now, notice verse 5. "One Lord." Christ has all authority, unity of authority. "One faith." This is the unity of doctrine, the gospel. The faith, the system of faith, that's the doctrine of Christ, isn't it? Now, one baptism. Here we have the unity of practice, obedience, in order to contact the precious blood of Christ. That's the, of course, the Great Commission baptism. That's not the baptism of fire or John's baptism or the Holy Spirit baptism, that's the baptism of the Great Commission. Now notice verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. God the Father, unity of worship and devotion. So let's be sure we appreciate the seven ones of unity. But now, let's get to the crux of our study and show the answer to this question, how does one try to steal blessings? Because this is what's going on. So many folks are involved in trying to steal blessings from God without doing it right in accordance to God's will. So here's our first example. By coming up short on the plan of salvation. So Paul, we noted, preached the whole counsel of God, but many today do not. They leave out parts of the gospel. How many well-known preachers on the radio, on TV, writing books, are declaring faith-only salvation? Have you not heard that by a number of preachers? Well, of course, because it's too numerous to name how many are involved. Well-known preachers like Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, faith only is advocated. Joel Osteen, the same, and many other denominational preachers are teaching and preaching this false doctrine. But yet, as we stay with God's word, now we're not wanting to be mean to anyone. We're just wanting to point out the truth. If someone may be a nice person, very sincere, but if they're not teaching and preaching the truth, we need to understand that's the case. And thus they have to be marked as a false teacher. If they're teaching faith only, they're coming up short on the plan of salvation. Thus that's trying to steal blessings from God. Now let's go to James 2, verses 18 and 19 and prove that this is a false teaching. Faith only. Grace only is a false teaching. There are other things involved. God's grace, of course, is involved. But we have to do something in order to receive it. So let's understand that. But we're dealing with faith only. So note 18 and 19 of James 2. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now let's talk about what kind of works. It's not meritorious works, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, not of works lest any man should boast. That's earning one's salvation, doing works of merit. That's not what's being talked about here. This is works of righteousness. Yeah, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Works of righteousness, not works of merit. Notice, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Certainly their belief is not going to save them, is it? Now note verse 24, and this states it where no one can miss it. Ye see then how that by works, again that's works of righteousness, by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That's not the case. So why should we believe those preachers and teachers who say that we're saved by faith only when God's word says it's not by faith only? There it is. Now, here's another example of one trying to steal blessings from God, and that's by not living the Christian life. You see, we can obey the gospel and then fall away. This is what happened with the parable of the soils, where you had rocky soil and thorny soil. These were those who obeyed the gospel. Yes, they received the word with joy, but then with the rocky soil, they have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. This is Luke 8:13. The same chapter we're studying from. Notice verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So the word is choked out. You see, they're wanting to go to heaven, but they're not willing to deny themselves of these pleasures and cares and riches of life. And thus they fall away. Now, that's trying to steal a blessing, isn't it? We must live the Christian life, continuing in the faith, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, of course, 1 Corinthians 15:58, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, in the Lord's church. Now, Galatians 6:7 tells us, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's going to turn out like God said it would, so God is not mocked. And certainly we're going to sow what we reap. Are we sowing to the spirit or to the flesh? We will reap likewise. Now here's another example of one trying to steal blessings from God by forsaking the assembly and neglecting Bible study and prayer. Can one who is not sick, not caring for a sick child or someone that's sick, be faithful to God and not worship regularly? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. And note with me Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We don't want to be of those who have that manner. No, of course not, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can one be faithful to God while refusing to listen to God speak through his word, or failing to speak to God in prayer? Well, we need to note 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's right. Knowing that we're under the law of Christ, we're not going to go to the Old Testament to justify what we do and worship and so forth. We study from the Old Testament. We preach from it. Of course we do. But we're under the law of Christ, so we need to rightly divide the word of truth. But we must study in order to be approved of God. And we need to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Of course, this is something we need to be doing. Now, notice this. While some may fool others and seem to be religious, they are not able to fool God. We all should know that. And thus, their religion is what? It's vain. James 1:25-26, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the law of Christ, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. We don't want to have vain religion, do we? Of course not. So let's be sure that we're practicing pure religion and undefiled before God. Now, as we've noted, one cannot steal a blessing from God. No one. Of course, this is the case. So let's be sure we're not of those who are trying to do just that. Let's stay with the truth, no matter how many do not. As Matthew 7:13-14 reveal, few there be that find it. That is the narrow road that leads to heaven, the straight gate. You have to drop the baggage to go in that gate, but it leads to heaven, to eternal life. But broad is the way, and and the gate is wide. You can take whatever you want in that through that gate. But where does that Broadway lead? To the fires of hell, to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. We don't want to be of the many. We want to be of the few. And so let's be sure that we're not trying to steal a blessing from God. How many of us want to go to heaven? No doubt all of us. But are we trying to go by doing our will or God's will? There's only one way to go to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John 14:6, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Are we doing his will? If not, we're not going to go to heaven until we repent of our sins and obey the gospel. After hearing the truth, believing that Jesus is the Christ, then we're ready to repent, make a change of wills, and then we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Yes, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, as we know in Romans 10:9-10, that's unto salvation. The next step is what puts us into Christ. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? That's when Jesus shed his blood in John 33:34. As you see, the soldier pierced Jesus' side, forthwith came there out blood and water, but he was already dead. That's when we contact the blood of Christ in that watery grave of baptism. Yes. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're born again. As we come up out of the water, our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. This is what we need to understand, that's in God's word. And we can't steal a blessing unless we submit to the gospel of Christ. We're not going to be in heaven when the Lord comes again. We're not going to be prepared. So we want to be sure that hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments, 1 John 2:3. That's right. And 1 John 5:2-3, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So are we doing that? We must. Notice John 10:1. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Doesn't that relate to our study? You cannot steal a blessing from God. Well, yes, it does. Now let's be sure that we understand there's only one way to go to heaven, and that's the Lord's way. And let's be sure we're submitting to his gospel. We stand ready to assist you. Thank you so much for listening today.